Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I was going where I shouldn't go, seeing who I shouldn't see, doing what I shouldn't do, being who I shouldn't be.
It's the actor's toughest role, the solo album. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, we debate the new albums from actors Jeff Bridges and Tim Robbins. Plus, Stephen Wilson from the progressive rock band Porcupine Tree gives us a sneak preview of his new album. But first, it was just last year when Jeff Bridges took home the Oscar for his role as a down-and-out honky-tonk singer, Bad Blake, in the film Crazy Heart. It seemed inevitable that he would follow that music-based success with a countrified album of his own, and today he did just that. His solo record comes on the heels of an album from another actor who once played a musician on screen, Tim Robbins. Now that the two Hollywood hunks' albums are out and the early reviews are in, we want to know which actor should keep his day job. It's a question for this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
And joining me in our studio is Sean Manning, author of Rock and Roll Cage Match, Music's Greatest Rivalries Decided. Sean, good to have you back on the Smackdown.
Great to be here.
And joining us by phone from California is Steve Almond, author of Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life. Steve, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Good to be back.
Sean, let me start with you. We offered you your pick, Tim Robbins or Jeff Bridges. You chose the Tim Robbins record. Why?
I did. You know, this Jeff Bridges, what more does this guy want? He's good looking. He's charming. He's an Oscar-winning actor. He's a humanitarian. He's been in a 30-year marriage with a woman he's madly in love with. And now he wants to be a recording artist? It's too much.
And poor Tim Robbins has none of that?
He's had a little hardship as of late, so
yeah,
I went with this pick. Yeah.
All right, but... but is it a good record? Should he keep his day job?
I think it's a worthy record. I don't think he wasted his time doing it. let's put it that way.
All right, let's hear a little bit, and then we'll see if Steve agrees. This track is called Dreams, and it's not just Tim Robbins singing.
Right.
He wrote every song on this record.
Sometimes I'm losing my life to this. 9 to 5, when the day's done, the work has begun. And in
that is Tim Robbins. Dreams is from his new record, which just came out. We're debating the new Tim Robbins and the new Jeff Bridges albums, the two actors. And Sean Manning said that he didn't think Tim Robbins wasted his time making this record. And Sean, while you were saying that, I thought I heard Steve Almond chuckling down the line. Steve?
It was a kind of a chuckle combined with more of a just existential groan or... an eructation that I can't even define. It's somewhere between just dread and outright sorrow. I think Sean needs to be given a ton of credit for attempting to give Tim Robbins any credit. I listen to this guy's voice, and it is as if Bruce Springsteen and Steve Earle and Bob Dylan all got together and said, you know what, let's have transgender therapy, let's start ingesting hormones, and let's also just make sure that we're way too far from the mic, and then we'll give it a whirl.
And there's a little Shane McGowan in there, too. You can't leave that out.
Right, yeah. And it's, I mean, it's just, his voice is just not a good instrument. And I admire him for writing his songs, and I admire him as a film actor, and I appreciate that he can suck up a lot of cultural oxygen doing things that he's really good at, and I really counsel him to keep doing those things.
All right, so Clearly, you're not coming down on the Tim Robbins side of our debate. So what do you have to say about the new Jeff Bridges record?
Jeff Bridges is playing within his ballgame. He is playing within his game. He has made a straightforward country record. He didn't write all the songs, although he wrote some of them. He doesn't have a great voice, but he puts it in a mix where it makes a ton of sense. He sounds like Bad Blake from Crazy Heart after AAA kind of got a hold of him. You know, he's cleaned up. He doesn't have the same juice, but his voice is pretty good in the mix that they put it in. And he's smart enough to know that, you know, he's really smart enough to recognize his limitations and play within them.
This song is called Blue Car, and it is from the new Jeff Bridges album, which, by the way, is self-titled.
Sunrise is a miracle, but it can't hold a candle to you. The sunrise is a miracle, but it can't hold a candle to you. Do you remember them rides in my blue car back when? She's a little loose, and the brakes are screaming a song called What's the Use? But it's good for one more trip, one more trip to you.
That is Jeff Bridges. The album is also called Jeff Bridges, and this song is Blue Car. Steve Allman thinks that it's a worthy effort. Sean Manning likes the Tim Robbins record, which is called Tim Robbins and the Rogue Gallery Band. Rogues Gallery Band. Guys, we should probably talk about the producers, the bands, both singers backed by incredible... The Rogues Gallery Band, Sean... Roger Eno, right. Brian Eno's brother, Kate St. John from Dream Academy, a whole bunch of other people.
Right, and that's the cool thing about this album that I think distinguishes it from the Bridges album. Is, you know, the Bridges album is self-titled. It's got a picture of him on the cover, whereas this is Tim Robbins and the Rogues Gallery Band, picture of a kids' choir on the cover, essentially black and white. And the other thing I have a beef with is this whole T-Bone Burnett thing, which who's the producer?
All right, T-Bone is the producer right. of the Jeff Bridges record.
Right, right. And, I mean, this guy is becoming the patron saint of adult contemporary music. You know, he takes all of these awesome, ballsy rock stars, the Robert Plants, Leon Russell, you know, it's Elvis Costello, even Mellencamp, and he just waters these guys down to the point where they're unrecognizable. And I think that... In a little way, he's playing with that, with the Bridges, too. It all seems to sound a bit of the same. And also, can he really have a nickname like T-Bone and wear sunglasses inside? I don't think so. It's got to be one or the other.
He has done here on Soundcheck and seems to get away with it. Steve, all right, let's move to the battle of the super producers. Sean is defending the Tim Robbins record produced by Hal Wilner, who did Saturday Night Live, who did all of those tribute records to Kurt Vile and Thelonious Monk, et cetera. Right. If you want Lou Reed to sing Kurt Vile, Hal Wilner is the guy who can make that happen.
Right.
You've got T-Bone Burnett in your corner. What about Sean's... sort of charge that T-Bone makes Jeff Bridges sound like Robert Plant, who sounds like John Cougar Mellencamp, who sounds like everybody
right.
else that T-Bone
right.
produces.
No, listen, I wish T-Bone Burnett had produced Tim Robbins' records so that his voice would be unrecognizable. That would have been awesome. I mean, T-Bone Burnett is probably the one producer powerful enough to eliminate the egregious, awful weapon of sonic weapon that is Tim Robbins' voice. We could talk about, I mean, both of these guys are engaged in vanity projects. In fact, I find it in some ways more obnoxious. Like, I'm glad that Jeff Bridges just puts it right out there. It's like a big gold belt buckle. I'm Jeff Bridges. I'm a big, handsome movie star. Here's my record. I'm pretty cool. Listen to me. Whereas Tim Robbins is like, you know what? I'm just all about this band of musicians who I have hired probably at combat pay to back my sorry ass. And I'm going to put a bunch of kids on the album so you won't know that it's liberal evil grandpa Tim Robbins making your life miserable for 55 minutes. But unfortunately, you know, at the end of the day, you have to listen to an album for its songs, and that is where Sean really, I feel like you're like a Fox News pundit. You've got, you're on the wrong side of all the issues, but you've got to be super creative in defending this guy, and I hope you're getting well paid for this, my friend.
Where's my bell sound? I mean, this, like, Steve is just landing blow after blow here in the SmackDown this week.
All I'm saying is that if you've seen the movie Arlington Road, you know how it ends. And it's the same thing with these albums.
This is the movie where the two of them actually face
off
on screen. What about, you know, Hal Wilner's production on Tim Robbins' record?
I think it's solid. I mean, it's the guy's an accomplished producer. Yeah. It's well done.
Is it too well done? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, are we listening to a great producer at work, or are the songs actually, you know, worth listening
to on their own? I think Steve hit it right on the nose with the Springsteen comparison. You know, a lot of this stuff sounds like...
Yeah, but he meant it as a bad
thing. He meant it in a bad way, whereas I look at it as, look, if you're going to emulate somebody on an album, it should, you know, it might as well be Springsteen. You know, I mean, the fact that, and I think this is, in a way, his Tunnel of Love album, even though he says that it has nothing to do with his breakup with Susan Sarandon. You know, there is a lot of stuff that sounds similar to Tunnel of Love on this album, and which was Springsteen's divorce album.
Mm-hmm. I think Sean's right. I'm going to forward the title Tunnel of Crap for this record. I do want to say that the place where this does line up is that Tim Robbins, in the tradition of the American troubadour, and that's, to me, Jeff Bridges is just trying to produce it, and I will agree, it's not a super ambitious album, and I mean that as a compliment, but Tim Robbins is trying to follow in the tradition of great American troubadours, not just Bob Dylan, who he imitates at one point, but also Springsteen and Steve Earle, and even as the song Time to Kill, which I think of as his sort of Nebraska. I mean, as near as I can reckon, it's about a soldier, you know, so it's laudable. It's got the right sort of liberal impulses and may even make a good larger moral point. But it is a painful song to listen to because it needs to be sort of, his voice needs to be delivering a real haunted sound to it, like you hear in the song Nebraska or Billy Austin by Steve Earle, and it's just not there.
Steve, what about Jeff Bridges' voice? I mean, do I hear a little hint of auto-tune in this record?
You probably hear more than a hint of auto-tune. but he's not trying very hard. You know, he's basically moving from middle C up to middle D. You know, he's really got a limited range. It's a laid-back voice, and that's, country music is forgiving. It is a forgiving medium. It essentially has one or two emotional timbres. I'm drunk and I'm ready to dance, and I'm really drunk and she left me. That's pretty much the range.
But what about that? What about that argument that he's a guy that's been happily married for over 30 years, and, you know, isn't country the music of sorrow and heartbreak and dissolution?
Yeah. Well, I mean, then you get into the whole question of authenticity and who can authentically play any kind of music. That's a SmackDown for another day. Sean Manning and Steve Almond are our smackers around in the Soundcheck SmackDown this week as we are debating the new records by two award-winning actors, Tim Robbins and Jeff Bridges, and asking which one should keep the day job. Steve clearly thinks Tim Robbins ought to keep his day job. Sean likes the Tim Robbins record, not so crazy about the Jeff Bridges. Let's take a call. Sean is on the line with us, another Sean, from Jersey City. Sean, it sounds, do you think that one or the other of these actors should be sort of automatically ejected from our competition here?
Well, I think that Jeff Bridges should be automatically ejected because, like you said, that using auto-tune is just egregious. And T-Bone Burnett is the worst for this. He put auto-tune on Robert Plant and Alison Krauss's record, and I wanted to break my speakers over that.
Auto-tune, by the way, for those of you who aren't aware of it, is the much-used and nowadays notorious device that will do what the name says. It will automatically tune a voice that's slightly off-pitch to be on-pitch, but it does leave these sort of sonic artifacts. You can, once you know what to listen for, you can tell when it's being used. And Soundcheck listeners, I realize that for many of you, you probably haven't had a chance to hear yet either the Tim Robbins or Jeff Bridges records, except for what we've been playing so far. But do you have an actor album that you love or that you love to hate? Because we want to get into that in a little while as well. You can call us at 212-433-4444. WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And if you do have a comment about either of these two new records, Tim Robbins or Jeff Bridges, feel free to leave it. Actually, if we head on into the control room, producer Joel Meyer has been moderating some of the comments that have been coming in. Joel, what you got?
John, lots of our listeners are weighing in on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Here's what our listener Dallas from Brooklyn has to say. Too much auto-tune on Bad Blake. Also, he sounds emotionally flat and nasally. And Tim Robbins sounds like he's dying. Robots Need to Party from New York City writes, this works better the other way around. Think Kris Kristofferson. And here's what Nick from the Upper West Side wrote. These vanity albums made by famous actors are no better nor no worse than tons of stuff being released by so-called legitimate recording artists. They're just part of the American product stream. The finest albums ever made by an actor are the ones by William Shatner, which skirt genius.
I was wondering how long we would go before the name William Shatner would be evoked by either a listener or by one of our guests, both of whom are going to return in just a moment. But we've been kicking around Tim Robbins and Jeff Bridges. Actually, Steve Allman's been kicking around Tim Robbins, and Sean Manning's been kicking around Jeff Bridges. But the two of them both have records out, new solo records that are out there with great producers and great bands and perhaps questionable singing. And in the background, if William Shatner can do it, I can too, from Jeff Daniels.
Singing some song that nobody knows. He's got an Oscar, now he's got a guitar. Just like that, he's a rock and roll star. Kathy Lee had to quit the show to be with her family. Then the next thing you know, there's a TV special and a Christmas CD.
Well, that's Jeff Daniels getting all meta on us with a song called If William Shatner Can, I Can Too. We'll open the phones in a moment and hear about actor albums that you love or love to hate. And then later, an actual full-time musician, Stephen Wilson of the English prog rock band Porcupine Tree, debuts songs from his upcoming solo record in our Soundcheck studio.
You're laughing about. Cause it won't blame it on the blues. Got you feeling loose. Who's blame it on the throne? Got you feeling thrown. Blame it on the alcohol.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So on our SmackDown earlier today, we were smacking around the debut solo records from two of Hollywood's leading middle-aged men, Tim Robbins and Jeff Bridges. And that has led us to ponder other artists who've made the leap from the silver screen to songwriting. And often, let's face it, the results have been laughably bad. But it doesn't have to be that way. Once again in the studio with me is Sean Manning, author of Rock and Roll Cage Match, Music's Greatest Rivalries Decided. And joining us again on the phone is Steve Allman, author of Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life. And Sean, in the background, this Jamie Foxx song, Blame It. You are kind of a fan of this
Love
Jamie Foxx record. You were not surprised that he actually turned out to be a decent musician, right?
No. To me, Jamie Foxx is the Jim Thorpe of American entertainment. He is the successor to Sinatra in terms of the triple threat. And I think that he, like Steve had been saying about Jeff Bridges, he really knows his strengths and plays to them really well. You know, he's hired like incredible producers. He's got Timbaland on the album. He's got a couple of incredible guest stars, you know, Lil Wayne's on the album and so forth. But he really does play with his sense of humor and also his sexiness. And
okay, so you were not surprised then when Jamie Foxx delivered a credible and even maybe a pretty good record. Are there actors who've delivered records that surprised you with how good they are?
I think Ryan Gosling's record was actually pretty interesting.
This is his band, Dead Man's Bones.
Right, Dead Man's Bones. And it's very intriguing. He uses a children's choir from L.A., and he works with a partner on it. And it's very spooky and conceptual, but it kind of works.
My Body's a Zombie for You is the name of this tune.
It's war. Yeah.
after Ryan Gosling's band, Dead Man's Bones, and My Body's a Zombie for You, proving once again that, used correctly, there is nothing creepier than a children's chorus.
For real.
Let's take a call. Matthew's on the line with us from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, you got an example of an actor making a record that you either love or hate?
Oh, I got one I definitely hate. It's Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, the action hero, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yes, that's my point exactly. He put out a soundtrack for his that show, Walker, Texas Ranger, and I have never, and I mean ever, heard a worse use of auto-tune in my entire life.
What kind of music is it?
It's kind of like country western versus rock.
Versus rock.
Yes.
Not a nice collaboration, but a collision of the two.
Yes, collision, more like train wreck.
All right, Chuck Norris getting smacked around by Matthew from Atlanta. Let's go back to Steve Almond on the line with us from California. Steve, I know that it seemed like that Tim Robbins record just had you in absolute pain. So let me ask you to, you know, give us something that made you feel a little better. An actor who delivered a record that you actually liked.
There are about three on record, because the Billy Bob Thornton, Russell Crowe, Keanu Reeves, Bruce Willis, Papa, you know, there's a whole bunch of them who just do terrible stuff. But Jason Schwartzman, the actor who was in, he's been in a ton of films, but, you know, I think of him as the guy from Rushmore, put out, is in a band called Phantom Planet, and several years ago they had a debut record that is a great pop album, and he wrote a lot of the songs. I don't think he's the lead singer, but he wrote a lot of the songs, and there's a lot of harmonies, and it's a terrific record. Phantom Planet. Minnie Driver also put out a surprisingly good record, where if I just heard it, I would say, oh, that's an accomplished musician who knows how to use her voice. And you know, I think Zoe Deschanel from Shim and, she and him does good pop music. I basically feel like all these people, and I'm going to include James Franco just by proxy here, because he's undoubtedly going to come out with an album soon called Studies in Narcissism or whatever. But they need to be, somebody needs to sort of auto-tune them into silence. But those three I really liked.
So Zoe Deschanel and M. Ward, recording as She and Him, have now released two volumes of their songs. This is from Volume 2. That is She and Him, the actress and singer, Zoe Deschanel, and the singer and songwriter, M. Ward. I'm Gonna Make It Better from their album Volume 2, which came out last year. We are talking about actors who become singers and the records that you love and the records that you love to hate. Jerry from New Jersey joining us on the line. Jerry, you got a which are you going to give us, a record that you love or one that you hate? You with us, Jerry? All right, we'll have to get back to him. Steve Almond, you were talking before about, you know, sort of dreading the moment when James Franco releases his inevitable solo record. Hugh Laurie is coming out with a blues album. Now, maybe this goes back to what you were saying about Jeff Bridges, but Hugh Laurie has freely admitted that he is an actor. He is not a Southerner. He's English, obviously. He's never, you know, done sharecropping or ridden the rails or any of that kind of stuff. He has no business singing the blues.
Yep.
Does that kind of, you know, give him a pass in terms of worrying about authenticity and stuff?
Well, look, you know the rule. This is the Flannery O'Connor rule. You can get away with whatever you can get away with. So I don't care what somebody's background is, but having heard a little bit of the Hugh Laurie record, I'm sorry. All this stuff just sounds like it belongs in an elevator. Maybe it's a nice elevator. Maybe it's an elevator with a lot of mirroring and a wonderful scent, but it's still an elevator.
Well, this is a little bit of the forthcoming Hugh Laurie record. It's called Let Them Talk.
When I'm in 6 feet of cold, cold ground, always think of me, darling. Say, yeah, there's another good man gone down.
6 Cold Feet, the name of the song from Hugh Laurie. You know him as Dr. House from the TV series House, and he wants you to know him as a singer on his new record called Let Them Talk. Let's let some of the listeners have their say. And once again, Joel Meyer with some of the comments coming into the control room. Joel. Oh, boy.
John,
I am. There you are.
I just had to hit the magic button. It just says Joel on it, and so then I hit it. So I'm a little flabbergasted. Here's why I'm shaken up, John. I'm looking at all these great actors with albums that people are posting on the page. You know, William Shatner getting a lot of shout-outs, Leonard Nimoy, Zooey Deschanel, you know, she and him that we just heard. But then I was stopped in my tracks because no fewer than 3 people have mentioned the album or the song Heartbeat by Don Johnson.
Don Johnson from Miami Vice?
I can't explain it.
It's amazing.
Guys, do we love or hate Don Johnson?
The video is even better. If you haven't seen the video.
And when you say better, you mean worse.
I mean even more awesome. He plays a ex-Vietnam War correspondent photographer who's on the streets of Manhattan, and he ends up seeing this woman and falling in love with her, and then he ends up stalking her, and he has flashbacks of his time in Vietnam. It's incredible.
All in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. All right, let's try again to get Jerry on the line with us from New Jersey. You with us, Jerry?
Yeah, hey, John.
All right, so is this a record we're going to love or hate?
Well, speaking of today's business, it's Jeff Bridges in a secretariat-like stomp, for one. And as long as recorded music is listened to, William Shatner's transformed band in an even wider margin, it's the worst record ever made.
Yeah.
But the album by an actor that I thought was really good was Ricky Nelson and the Stone Canyon Band live at the Troubadour in L.A. in 1969.
Wow.
It's a really good country rock record and a forerunner of some of the great stuff he did in the 1970s.
Steven, you agree?
Yeah, I just feel that's guts. That is like Sean Manning. That's combat pay right there. I'm going to go Ricky Nelson, and I'm going back to old Ricky Nelson.
All right. What about outside the United States? If we look at someone like the Anglo-French actress Charlotte Gainsbourg, you know,
beautiful album. Yeah, she's been singing for a while. It's one of those another one. It's not necessarily a surprise,
mm-hmm.
but that's another case of collaborating with Beck, really aligning herself with the right people to bring out the best in her.
And a little bit of her Heaven Can Wait in the background as we wrap up. We've been speaking with Sean Manning, who is the author of Rock and Roll Cage Match and the memoir The Things That Need Doing. And on the line, Steve Almond, author of Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life and the upcoming book God Bless America. Sean, Steve, thank you both for being with us once again on Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Steve.
All right, enough actors turned musicians. Let's hear a real musician, Steven Wilson, next from the prog rock band Porcupine Tree. He'll give us a sneak preview of his upcoming solo record and an in-studio performance and an exclusive MP3 download, all coming up on Soundcheck.